Cress, brother and sister, D.H. Campground, Oakland, California, July 27, 1906. Dear brother and sister Cress, I am in attendance at the Oakland camp meeting. The meeting has been in session for several days. I have spoken several times in the large tent, which was crowded with interested hearers. I spoke on Friday and on Sabbath to a very densely packed tent full of people. I cannot name all the ministers present. We have good speakers here, who understand the scriptures. Bible subjects have been presented. I cannot hear distinctly the words of the speaker, so I do not attend the preaching services. Later, August 1st. I returned from the camp meeting yesterday. The meetings were considered excellent. I thank the Lord that He gave me much strength to speak to the people, such as I have not had for years. After speaking to large numbers assembled in the mammoth tent, I did not feel tired. Before going to this meeting, I had had 6 weeks of the influenza. But I said, I will not worry. I commit my soul and body to God, trusting that He will give me clear and distinct utterance. Sometimes I spoke for an hour and a quarter. I had to keep my voice clear and distinct, upon a high key, but there was no loud shouting. And from the beginning to the close of my talks, I had not one feeling of weariness. The Holy Spirit refreshed me, and after taking my cold bath, I could take up my pen and write out instruction upon a different subject, needed by several in another place. Thus it was on Sunday, when the tent was crowded to its utmost capacity, and indeed all through the meeting. Once it was my privilege to speak in a smaller tent, which was crowded full of young men and young women. Soon after I began speaking, older ones tried to crowd in. I had great freedom, and the tender Spirit of God was with me. The Savior seemed to be close beside me. I dwelt upon the Christian experience to be gained from the ministration of the Holy Spirit, promised in the 28th chapter of Matthew. All hearts were touched. I was much refreshed and strengthened. It is the earnest of the Spirit of life through Christ that every soul needs now, just now. There is not the least excuse now for anyone's departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Those who follow their own sophistries do this from their own choice, in the face of light and evidence. The Lord Jesus recognizes the real value of sincere belief in His personality, which, though unseen, is viewed by the eye of faith. After Christ's resurrection, just before He ascended, He appointed a time and a place in which to meet His disciples. The 28th chapter of Matthew gives us a distinct history of this meeting. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered, and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders, and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night, and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him, and secure you. So they took the money, and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Verses 1 to 20. Thank the Lord with heart and soul and voice. Great peace has been upon me all through this meeting, and notwithstanding I have had much to say, not one talk that I have given has been followed by the least weariness. Even after more than an hour's talk, I felt fresh, more so than when I began. My brethren and sisters say, "This is the power of God." On the last Sabbath, I talked in the forenoon for about 50 minutes. This was a most earnest appeal for all to prepare for the great day of God. I entreated those who had been listening to the words of invitation from the Lord Jesus not to delay repenting of their sins and being converted. To repent and be converted, this is the movement that the sinner must make if he would have Christ as his Savior. To all who receive him, Christ will give power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on his name. After I had spoken, the meeting was changed into an earnest revival effort. He made a most urgent appeal for all who desired a new experience to come to Christ just as they are and by faith receive him, telling them that as they did this, they would receive power to accept the pardon of all their sins. He asked them to rise to their feet. Some of the front seats were then vacated, and a large number came forward, men, women, and children. We then had singing interspersed with speaking. This had effect, and every seat vacant at the front was occupied. More seats had to be vacated at the front to make room for those who came forward. Several prayers were then offered. I felt that it was my privilege to take hold of the hand of infinite power and hold fast in behalf of the ones who needed an experience in the meaning of the truth contained in the fifth chapter of John. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Verses 16 to 29. All that came forward were prayed for most earnestly, several of the ministers taking part. Then came a hymn, a prayer for grace to depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. After the close of the hymn, the older ones among those who had come forward were invited into one tent, and the younger ones into another, and labor appropriate for the occasion was given them. They also had an opportunity to express themselves. Had the Jews referred to in the foregoing scripture been on the ground to see the earnest labor put forth and the filling up of the vacated seats with earnest, inquiring souls, they would doubtless have opposed their own ideas against the plan of God. For in Christ's day, they called even the healing of the sick and their restoration to health, this work of relieving suffering humanity, breaking the Sabbath day. During the meeting, 65 persons were baptized, and we expect that there will be others who will be converted. This is the very work that is to be done in these last days. I look upon this chapter in my experience, in my 78th year, as a miracle of Christ's working, because all was done without any sense of weariness. We shall have peace and thanksgiving for the work carried forward in many lines at this camp meeting. My soul was thankful, and I praised the Lord with all my heart. The next boat to Australia leaves tomorrow, and I shall not be able to send you all that I would like to, as there will not be time to get copies. But the boat leaving after this one will bring you some precious matter that I wrote yesterday. On Sunday night, I had an attack of pleurisy. My heart was filled with sorrow because of the course that Kellogg is following. And Jones is following the same course and voicing the same sentiments with a most determined spirit. When a realization of this comes over me, with such force, great sorrow fills my soul. I have before me such a revival of the first great apostasy in the heavenly courts that I am bowed down with an agony that cannot be expressed. It is in Battle Creek that the warnings that are given are entirely disregarded. Such a scene passed before me that it brought on a pain resembling that of pleurisy. I had an attack that seemed like a death grasp upon my heart. Sarah worked over me with hot water bags and hot compresses until nearly midnight. I felt that Satan was trying to crush out my life, for I had had very decided testimonies to bear all through the meeting. I could only say, "Hold me by thy hand, dear Savior, for I have had such fierce attacks of Satan upon my heart, which have nearly destroyed my life." I kept saying, "Keep me by thy power, O Lord, and I will follow closely in the path in which thou wilt lead me." For hours I was in physical agony, but by faith I could leave myself in the hands of my Savior. The pain was removed, and on Monday morning I wrote several pages of matter in my large diary. It was clearly represented to me that Satan would make me feel the power of his cruel attacks, but not yet is my message to cease, nor my work of giving decided reproof to those who have gone against the light given them. Men will place themselves under Satan's rule, but we will not fail or be intimidated, even though we may have some fierce attacks as I did on Sunday night. It seemed that in the excruciating pain, I must cling closely to Christ Jesus. His power is above Satan's power. I am again free, although during the first night spent in my own home, I had only troubled rest. The Lord is working in wondrous power, and He will continue to work, although through Satan's power we experience calamity. We are tried with every conceivable embarrassment, but all that comes will make us cling with firm assurance to the promise, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. We may work as under the immediate protection of the Mighty One who inhabits eternity. Christ has opened a fountain of life for all the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Yes, believing in a personal Savior who gave up to death His only begotten Son, that a fallen world might repent, accept a personal Savior, and eat of the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations.